Welcome to another message from Dr. Bible Readings by Dr. Jim. We've done all of our Bible readings so far in the Old Testament. But we're going to jump over to the New Testament to one of my favorite books that is absolutely a necessity to understand the person of Jesus Christ. Because this whole book is about the person of Jesus Christ and salvation. It talks about all kinds of Bible doctrines in 1 John. And I think it doesn't hurt us to read this book at least once every 6 months or a year or something. And it is phenomenal. It's displaying and glorifying Jesus Christ. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. And in all of these books, he says one, he has one message. Jesus Christ, the eternal God of the Old Testament, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, and the glorified, incarnated Son of God in the New Testament. The Word of Life. The Word of Life. And that's what this is all about, the Word of Life, the words of life. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes. He's telling you that Jesus Christ is real. He is not a spirit. He is not a phantom. He is not some interterrestrial spook. He is God the Son. And it says here, what we have seen with our own eyes, and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't accept the Son, you don't honor the Father. Jesus said, if you were of my Father, you would love me. But since you're not of my Father, you hate me and you are of your father, the devil. And these things we write so that our joy may be made more complete, full, and mature. And this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. First John, in the first chapter, he says this. John, in the second chapter, he says this. John, in the third chapter, he says this. John, in the eighth chapter, he says this. John, in the tenth chapter, he says this in the Gospel according to John. God is light, in Him there was no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with Him and one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin and we are deceiving ourselves, the truth is not in it, or not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What is all of this saying here? We sin, we don't sin, we sin, we don't sin. The thing is that every child of God sins. And we ask God to forgive us. And if we say we don't sin, as in the holiness sect, we are liars. And the truth of God is not in us. My little children, John is fond of this term, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ is righteous. And He Himself is the hilasmos, hilastherion. He is our mercy seat. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Here we have complete, what we might call universal atonement. Not efficaciously, but it was made. The universal atonement, Jesus Christ died for all men. People don't go to hell because Jesus didn't die for them. They go to hell because they didn't ask Jesus to forgive them. They haven't asked God. They haven't gone His way. There's only one way unto the Father, and that's through the Son. He is our propitiation. And for not ours only, that's the elect, but for the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word in Him and the love of God has truly been perfected and matured. By this we know that we are in Him. And the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. He's talking about imitating Christ. Christ on earth. Now, we can't do that, but we strive forward toward it. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning, that the old commandment is the word which we have heard. That's the gospel. On the other hand, I'm writing you a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. John did not like the Gnostics. He didn't want to be in the same room with them. But he's talking about here his brothers and sisters. It's hard when you have a brother or sister in Christ, it's hard not to love them. And sometimes it's hard to love them. But see, now love is one of the gifts that abide today. Faith, hope, and love. And we have that love. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven and you for his name's sake. Our sins are forgiven not for our sake, not for our own glory, not that we might brag about it, but for his sake. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We applied His atonement to our lives when we asked Him to forgive us and repent of our sin and ask Him to save our souls, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no eternal life. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. And again, it says in NRK, Ein ho logos, kai ho logos, ein proston theo, kai ho logos, ein theos. In the beginning kept on being the Word, the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being the inseparable part of the Godhead because, yes, indeed, the Word, the Jehovah, kept on being God. Our God kept on being Jehovah, or the Word. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have become the evil one. Young men, you have overcome the evil one. And I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're talking about the course, the cosmos, the God of this world, it says. Satan's ways and Satan's things. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away. And also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour. Again, he writes these terms, little children. It is the last hour, just as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. when Jesus Christ founded His church on the seashores of Galilee. And then Matthew 16:18, He says, Peter, you're a little stone, but upon this great foundational rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. It didn't mean the gates of hell wouldn't try to wrestle her down. The gates of hell, Satan has worked in churches, outside of churches, around churches, below churches, and above churches in every way. Now he makes a statement here. Some people that joined churches, they left the churches. They left the churches because the love of the world was still in them, or they went away in heresy. Heresy. That Jesus is not the Son of God, that Jesus is not God in flesh. That Jesus didn't die on the cross of Calvary. That the Bible is not true. These are the Antichrist things. Muhammad says the Bible has been corrupted. Yeah, the Bible was corrupted. It's called the Quran. It's the most scrambled up mess. Quotations from the Bible that don't mean anything at all. It's upside down, crooked, corrupt, and stupid on top of that. They went out from us. But they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are not all of us. The apostates. The acts of the apostates. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is in the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ? Just what I said a while ago. Muhammad, Jehovah Witnesses, in a lot of ways, Mormons. I mean, Jesus is their older brother. That's not the Christ. It's their older brother. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If you have heard from the beginning, abides in you, and you also will abide in the Son. And in the Father. And this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. He promises eternal life. We have eternal life now when we believe and we're born again. Metatate, I'm going into the Greek from my head. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you, lead you astray. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and it is true, and it is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in Him. It's talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I had so many people teach me out of the charismatic movement that why in the world was I going to seminary for 12 years? When all I had to do is get up and God would fill my mouth. And I'd have all knowledge and they would use this here. And that's not what it's talking about at all. And now little children abide in Him so that when He appears, we have made conscience and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. Or be put to shame by Him or from Him. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of God and born of Him. Verse chapter number 3 now. See how great the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Such as we are, for this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. The world system of things, that cosmos again, For God so loved the cosmos that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed in Him and upon Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And you know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared to this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. No one is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God in us does not sin. The seed of God in us does not sin. Our bodies may go astray, our minds may go astray, but the seed of God, the Spirit of God in us never, never, never sins. By this, children of God, the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. There were people living at this time that absolutely, they said, we're saved, and so we're just going to go on. And they just lived lives just like they did in the world. They just went on just living like that. And that's what John is preaching against, these libertarians, so to speak. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was the evil one, and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's deeds were righteous. You know, Baptists have been called, they've been called Cathari. They have been called Puritans. Many, many things have been called because they lived lives different than the world. The Catholic soldiers and the Catholic priests all sinned plenty. Licentious, horrible, ravenous lives. Cannibals. Cannibals. Killing women and cutting their breasts off and cooking them and eating them. Cannibals. Raping and pillaging women and then cutting their throats and cutting open their wombs. Horrible, horrible religious practices. Islam does that today, all over the world. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that He passed out death unto life, because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So, those soldiers that Islam sends out to kill all these people, those soldiers that in the Crusades that Catholicism sent out with plenary indulgence, that murder and kill and lust and steal, pillage and rape and murder, what does it say? There's no eternal life dwelling in them. We know that love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. They had to back then. They died for one another. You ought to study church history. Churches of the valleys of the Piedmont. The different martyrs. Many of the books. John T. Christian's Volume 1 and 2. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Learn how the brethren laid their lives down for one another. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with deed and truth. Put your money where your mouth is what it says. We shall know this, that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So we believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jehovah Witnesses do not believe that. They do not believe that he is the Son of God. Muslims cannot say they love God and hate Jesus. And the one who keeps his commandments abides him and he in him. And we know this by that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he gave to us. Chapter number 4. The world is full of spirits. And many of the spirits are not of God. If a spirit that you think is of God leads you to astray from the Word of God, astray from God, it's not the Spirit of God. If the spirit that is seducing you away from the Word of God, away from Jesus Christ, away from the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that spirit is not of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Try the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, we have a lot of luxuries and temptations and everything in the world on the Internet. You can go on the Internet and you can find 50 to 100, 200, 300 prophets testifying, this is what God told me about you and what he wants in your life. If you don't listen to me, God is going to damn you. This is what God says. This is who the leader of the world is going to be. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. John is really thrashing the agnostics. They didn't blow, you know, Jesus is just a spirit. The Gnostics were like the modern day Jehovah's Witnesses. And like the Muslims of today. Every spirit does not confess Jesus is not from God. Simple as that. When so-called Muhammad was receiving his revelations, all of them were contrary to this right here. And this is the first revelation, the true revelation. So any revelation that goes against this is wrong. Any revelation that Charles Taze Russell or Joseph Smith or Brigham Young might have said about this, they are not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which we have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. A man by the name Benjamin Marcus Bogard said, a long time ago, a lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. A lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. And boy, in history, that is true. That is a true little proverb. And we are from God, and he who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you don't listen to this book, something wrong. You got the wrong spirit. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves us is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. This is a great statement, for God is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. God is love. By this the love of God is manifested in us, and God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, the same thing was said in 1 John 2 and 2. He is our covering for our sins. He is our atonement, is what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Paul wrote in some of his letters for church members to quit fighting and get along. Church members fight because of personal opinions. If we give our eyes focused on Christ, we don't fight. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us, matured in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And this word is attested to by that Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has not sent His Son to be, the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He has sent the Son to be the Savior of the cosmos, all of it. For God so loved the world, He's going to buy back all of the planets. All the cosmos, all of the galaxies throughout the cosmos. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, abides in Him, and He in Him, God. We have come to know Him if we believe the love of God has for us, and God is love, and the one who abides in love and abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because He is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother who he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. There was a lot of fighting going on back here. And John keeps repeating this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. Again, over and over again, John is stating one fact. One important, imperative, eternal fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Muslim confession of faith says, there is no God but Allah and He has no companion. And Muhammad is His messenger. It means there that God, Allah, does not have a son. That statement is blasphemy. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whomever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that He has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and came by blood, and not with water only, but with the water and with blood. And this is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of the man, and the witness of God is greater, and the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. John baptized Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, or Yahshua HaMashiach. And when he went down in the water, death, burial, and resurrection is what immersion typifies. When he came up, the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The one who believes the Son of God has a witness in himself, and the one who does not believe, God has made him a liar, and because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jehovah's Witnesses, listen. Mormons, listen. Catholics, listen. Muslims, listen. These things, Tauta, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that we may know that you have eternal life. These things I write to you that you know that you have eternal life, that you're saved. And this is the confidence that we have before him, that we ask anything according to his will. He hears us. God answers our prayers all the time. Yes and no. And maybe. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have a request which we have asked from him. We know that we have the request that we ask from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, we shall ask God for him and give him life. To those who commit sin, not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. And boy, this is a question that has been asked for 2,000 years. What is a sin leading unto death? We know in the Corinthian church that some of them died because they were perverting the Lord's Supper. They died because they were perverting the Lord's Supper. Some of them were sick. John says that some sins lead to illness. Verse number 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that. Why in the world is this nation in such a mess? Why in the world is this world in such a mess if it wasn't for Satan, Diabolos? And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true eternal God. He's Jehovah of the Old Testament. The word Jehovah in the Old Testament, which we don't know how to say, actually, means he who shall become. And in John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos sarx again, and the word fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 18 says, 1:18 that is, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom, that one has led himself out. And all these words are written by this guy right here, John. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Boy, Catholicism, Muslim world, that whole Kaaba over there is idolatry. All of the stations of the cross in the Catholic Church, kneeling down to those is idolatry. The little statues on people's dashes, that is idolatry. These things we need to shun. Even in our own lives, we have superstition, superstitious idols in our own lives. We need to shun that. Father, we send this message out. It's the gospel. It's the truth. It's for you. It is for the world. It's your eternal message to the whole world. If anybody's going to be saved, you know, Father, that this is the message. And without Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal God, living in us, saving us, forgiving us of our sins, there is no hope. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.